Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today we are going to be turning One Punch Man into a D&D character. So, One Punch Man is a superhero, and his whole thing is he can defeat any opponent with a single punch. And throughout the series, he's just trying to find a worthy opponent because he is so bored. He's so bored. There's no challenge for him. He can just destroy anything he wants with a single punch. It originally was a webcomic created by One, O-N-E, in 2009. But in 2011, Yusuke Murata, a successful manga artist, reached out to One about a possible partnership in which Murata would redraw the webcomic for One. And so Murata used his connections in the industry to get a publishing deal with Weekly Young Jump Comics. And that's kind of how this awesome series kind of got pushed into the spotlight a bit. The manga became a digital publication on Weekly Young Jump's spin-off manga website, and then an anime adaptation of the manga produced by Madhouse was broadcast in Japan from October to December in 2015. And then the second season came out in 2019. And in the United States, One Punch Man first premiered on Adult Swim's Toonami. Does anyone remember Toonami? I remember I was a little kid and Toonami was like, we got Naruto, we got Inuyasha, we got Fullmetal Alchemist. And they were the ones where One Punch Man first premiered in the United States. So that's fun. That's fun for me, anyway, to have found out. But I've only watched the anime of One Punch Man, the two seasons out so far. Hopefully a third one will be coming out, because I very much enjoy it. And what I like so much about it is because pretty much all the anime I watch is about people trying to become superheroes or get stronger and overcome these obstacles. One Punch Man, or Saitama is the guy's name, Saitama's trying to overcome the boredom he gets from already being the most powerful. And I love that. I love that idea. I love the trope of a hero's journey and just kind of turning it on its head where it's like, okay, what do you do after the fact? Ugh, anyway. I also love, people are like, oh, who would win in a fight? Like One Punch Man or Goku or One Punch Man or Naruto? And I'm like, okay, the whole point of One Punch Man is that he wins. You know, that's his whole thing. So he would beat Goku. I don't think they'd be fighting in the first place because they're both heroes. He would beat Naruto. Again, don't think they would be fighting. But that's his whole deal. And I hate it when people are like, oh, well, I don't know, because Naruto has, like, the nine-tailed fox spirit. And I'm like, yeah, but One Punch Man could kill him with a single punch. That's his whole thing. That's the point of the manga. Or the anime. You get it. Okay. Anyway, so if you're not familiar with One Punch Man, there is this thing called the Hero Association, which employs superheroes to fight evil, and there are just these powerful monsters and villains that wreak havoc in all of the cities. So Saitama is a hero for fun. It's like a hobby for him. He trained himself to the point of being able to defeat any enemy with a single punch, but that left him with this overwhelming sense of boredom, because, of course, all he wants to do to have fun is be a hero, but that's so boring for him because he can just destroy any villain, any monster, instantly. He eventually becomes a reluctant mentor to Genos, which is a cyborg. And I love Genos, he's a lot of fun. But Saitama and Genos join the Hero Association, but Saitama scored terribly on the written exam, so he's placed at a very low entry rank. So he's the most powerful hero, but he's ranked as one of the worst heroes, which is so funny to me. Okay. So let's get into it. Let us go into background. What is One Punch Man's background? I'm not entirely sure, because obviously he wasn't always a hero. He decided to become a hero when he was just so beaten down from job hunting. He could not find a job. And eventually he saves a child from this crab monster and decides to become a superhero. So none of the backgrounds really fit because they're all... Well, none of them fit. So I'm thinking maybe like Knight, because he eventually will be here. Maybe Soldier, because he fought to protect the kid. Oh, that seems more like Knight, but it doesn't sound right. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Knight, because he fights to protect people, and in his kind of debut, he fought to save a child, even though Saitama was like, hey, I have no business doing this, I'm still gonna fight you. So as a knight, he's gonna have skill proficiencies in history and persuasion, tool proficiencies in one type of gaming set, and one language of his choice. So one type of gaming set, he plays video games, so we'll just say video games. So proficiencies in history, persuasion, video games, and a language of his choice. Love that. Next, we are going to go on to race. I think for this specific build, what I'm going to try for is a character who can do a ton of damage in a single attack. So I think we're going to have to start as a variant human in order to accomplish that. I did variant human for last episode as well, and I try not to do it too much because it's usually just my go-to. But for this kind of... it's odd for me to go into an episode with an idea for what I want to have. Usually I just sit down and start recording, and whatever comes out, comes out. But I want One Punch Man to be able to destroy whatever he wants in one punch. So with a human variant, he gets a bunch of things. For ability scores, he's going to choose 2 from Strength, Dexterity, Constitution, Intelligence, Wisdom, and Charisma. He's going to gain proficiency in 1 skill of his choice. He's going to gain 1 feat of his choice. And he's going to speak Common and 1 extra language of his choice. So for the feat, the one that I am going to give him, I think I already know, it's going to be Great Weapon Master. So with this, on Saitama's turn, when he scores a critical hit with a melee weapon or reduces a creature to 0 hit points with one, he can make 1 melee weapon attack as a bonus action. I think that's pretty cool. Also, the reason why I wanted to start with this feat is before he makes a melee attack with a heavy weapon that he's proficient with, he can choose to take a -5 penalty to the attack's roll. And if the attack hits, he's going to add a +10 to the attack's damage. So he's a first level character that can automatically do an extra 10 damage if he hits. Perfect. I'm so good at this. Okay, so now that we have his background, knight, and his race, human variant, we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a d6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, add up the remaining 3 to get 1 of these 6 stats. So we do that 6 times. Okay, so I rolled for Saitama, and he did really well. He got 17, 14, 12, 15, 14, 15. Just really good rolls. I got so many 5s and 6s in there. I love that. So now let's plug them in. I definitely think strength is going to be the highest. So let's put that 17 there. And we can put a +1 from the human variant ability score improvement into that to make that an 18, which is a +4 modifier. Next highest is 15. Let's put that into dexterity. And I'm also going to do the last +1 to that, which will change the dexterity to a 16, which is a +3 modifier. I want dexterity as the second highest over constitution because he is really sturdy, but he's also really fast. And I think dexterity helps explain quickness more than constitution helps explain sturdiness. Does that make sense? Well, anyway, so next highest is 15. That's going to be Constitution, which is a +2 modifier. Next, we have 2 14s. Those are going to go into Wisdom and Charisma. So those are both plus 2 modifiers. And the lowest one is 12, which is still pretty good. That's going to go into intelligence, which is a plus 1 modifier. I just think he's a lot less intelligent than he is everything else. I half hoped he would roll poorly for at least one of them so that his intelligence could be really bad. Because he shows his wisdom fairly often. He doesn't show his intelligence very often, though. He's definitely not an intelligence-based fighter. He just hits things so hard that they die. So for his starting stats, we have 18 strength, 16 dexterity, 15 constitution, 12 intelligence, 14 wisdom, and 14 charisma. Very good, Saitama. Oh my god. For languages, he has common and one other from his race and one other from his background. I'm gonna go with Elvish because I always go with Elvish. I don't know why. And how about Halfling? He can speak Halfling. Now we can pick a class for him. I think I am going to... And again, what I'm trying to do is just build a character that can hit really hard with one hit. So I am going to start with Paladin, who I think are incredible at pouring damage into one attack. So as a paladin, he's going to start with 12 hit points. Paladins use d10s for their hit dice, and hit points at first level are just the highest number on the hit die plus your constitution modifier. 12 hit points, very good at first level. He's also going to gain proficiencies in light armor, medium armor, heavy armor, and shields. So his armor class is going to be pretty high if he can wear heavy armor. I don't know if he will be, because heavy armor usually gives disadvantage on stealth. And though he never tries to hide, he really could if he wanted to. He's proficient with simple weapons and martial weapons, and wisdom and charisma saving throws. So that's good. I do think he is wise. He's not necessarily charismatic, but in Dungeons & Dragons, intimidation corresponds to charisma. I don't always think that it should, but there you have it. And for skills, he can choose 2 from athletics, insight, intimidation, medicine, persuasion, and religion. So a lot of options there for us. Let's see, he already has proficiency in history and persuasion from his background. So let's go athletics and intimidation. So history, persuasion, athletics, intimidation. He also gets 1 skill proficiency from his race, so I'm gonna go with acrobatics, because I feel like he's so athletic that can just translate into acrobatics for him. Why not? So as a paladin, he's going to get the ability Divine Sense. So as an action, he can open his awareness to detect strong evil or powerful good. And until the end of his next turn, he's going to know the location of any celestial fiend or undead within 60 feet of him that's not behind total cover. He's going to know the type of the being, but not their actual identity. So he can tell if they're a fiend, but not the name of the fiend, obviously. Within the same radius, he can also detect the presence of any place or object that has been consecrated or desecrated. He can use this feature a number of times equal to 1, plus his charisma modifier. So he has a plus 2 to charisma, so he's going to be able to use this 3 times. And when he finishes a long rest, he's going to regain all expended uses. That's a pretty cool ability that will definitely help him find some monsters to fight, even though he does get bored with that. He also gets the Lay on Hands ability. I don't think this fits with Saitama, but it's what paladins get, so that's what he's going to get. He has a pool of healing equal to his paladin level times 5. So right now he has 5 points in that pool of healing, and as an action, he can touch a creature and heal them up to a maximum number of points. So right now he can heal himself or someone else 5 points as an action. That's really great because a lot of martial characters like fighters or rogues or monks don't really get ways to heal. But starting as a paladin, haha, he does kind of. He can also expend 5 hit points from his pool to cure the target of 1 disease or neutralize 1 poison affecting it. Pretty cool. Second level as a paladin, he's going to gain a fighting style, which is just his particular style of fighting that's his specialty. I think we are going to go with great weapon fighting. So when he rolls a 1 or 2 on a damage die for an attack he makes with a melee weapon that he's wielding with two hands, he can re-roll the die and must use the new roll, even if the new roll is a 1 or 2. And the weapon has to have the two-handed or versatile property for him to gain this benefit. Now, obviously, One Punch Man does not hold a sword. He just punches really hard. So I think for this fiction, his fist is going to have the stats of a great axe, which does 1d12 damage, just so we don't have to imagine him with an axe. Because if his punch could destroy everything, he would need an axe that could withstand him destroying everything, and that doesn't exist. Well, you get it. So I wanted that fighting style because that helps him do more damage per hit. But also, the main reason why I wanted Paladin was for the Divine Smite. So whenever he hits a creature with a melee weapon attack, so when he punches someone, he can expend a spell slot to deal radiant damage to the target in addition to the weapon's damage. And the extra damage is 2d8 for a first level spell slot, plus 1d8 for each spell slot level higher, to a maximum of 5d8. But the damage increases by 1d8 if the target is an undead or a fiend. So just at second level, if he uses Great Weapon Master and takes a -5 to his attack modifier and hits, he'll be able to do 1d12 plus 14 plus 2d8 damage. That's so much damage just at second level. That's so cool. So I mentioned spell slots because paladins are also spellcasters. So he has some spell slots, he's a half caster, so he's not going to have as many spell slots or as spells as like a wizard or sorcerer would, but he's got some, and I think he's going to use those spell slots for those divine smites, or also other smites. Paladins learn a whole number of smites like Searing Smite, Wrathful Smite, Banishing Smite, Thunderous Smite, and those are bonus actions. So he can use a bonus action like on Thunderous Smite, hit, potentially, and deal an additional 2d6 damage on top of everything else. So if he used Thunderous Smite in addition to Divine Smite, he could be dealing 1d12 plus 14 plus 2d8 plus 2d6 damage as a second level character. That is so much damage! I am already very into this. I love this for him. For third level, we are going to multi-class. So, say goodbye to Paladin, we are going into Barbarian. So, Barbarians have D12s for hit dice, the highest that you can get, so he's gonna have some more hit points there. But I'm going into this class because he gets the ability Rage. So as a bonus action on his turn, he can enter a rage. So he's going to have advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws, which, yeah, Saitama's got. And when he makes a melee weapon attack using strength, he's going to gain a +2 bonus to the damage roll. So already, that's an additional 2 damage every time he hits with one of his ferocious punches. And he's going to have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage, which will further help that kind of invulnerability that One Punch Man has. He can't cast spells or concentrate on them while he's raging, so he won't be able to bonus action cast Searing Smite, but he'll still be able to use those Divine Smites, because those aren't spells, they're just class abilities that he has. So even while he's raging, he can hit with Divine Smites. He also gets unarmored defense. So whenever he's not wearing armor, his armor class is going to be 10, plus his dexterity modifier, plus his constitution modifier. So I said he probably wouldn't be wearing heavy armor so that he doesn't get that stealth penalty. Well, now he doesn't have to wear any armor, and he can still have an armor class of 10, plus dexterity, plus constitution, for an armor class of 15, which is pretty good. That's not bad. Fourth level, that is second level Barbarian, he gains Danger Sense, and One Punch Man certainly has some Danger Sense. He has advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects that he can see. So he can't be blinded, deafened, or incapacitated to gain this effect, but that's awesome. If someone is like standing in front of him and tries to shoot him with a lightning bolt, he can have advantage on the dexterity saving throw to get away. He is also going to gain the ability Reckless Attack. So when he makes his first attack on his turn, he can decide to attack recklessly, which will give him advantage on melee weapon attack rolls that use strength during that turn. The caveat is that attack rolls against him are also going to have advantage until his next turn. But that's awesome because he can have advantage on every one of his punches, which essentially doubles the chance that he's going to get a critical hit. And he already does so much damage. Tacking a crit onto that would be insane. Fifth level, we are going to go third in Barbarian so that he can pick his primal path. And I think we are going to go into Path of the Totem Warrior. So Path of the Totem Warrior, they're like spiritual and everything. I'm not focusing too much on things as written. Like, I don't see Saitama as a paladin or a barbarian. He just hits things really hard. But for the mechanics of this, I think it fits. So he gains the ability Spirit Seeker. So he gains the ability to cast Beast Sense and speak with animal spells, but only as rituals. So he's just good at talking to animals. That doesn't really fit. But I wanted this for the Totem Spirit ability. So he can pick a totem animal and gain a special ability based on the animal he picks. So the options are bear, eagle, elk, tiger, and wolf. But I think we're going to go with bear. So while he's raging, he already has resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. But now, as a Path of the Totem Warrior with the bear totem spirit, he's going to have resistance to all damage except psychic. So how's that for some invulnerability? He can just half all damage that comes his way as long as he's raging and it isn't psychic damage. That is very awesome. And if you've read the manga or seen the anime, I don't know if there's much of a difference between the two, you know that when he gets mad, he goes all out. So giving him this ability to rage and suddenly become invulnerable to practically all damage is pretty cool. If I do say so myself, which you know I do. Anyway, all right, for sixth level, we are going to multi-class into Rogue. So this is the first time we have ever done a three-way multi-class. Before this, it's always been just two. They start in a class and they multi-class into another. They might go back to the original class, but there's only two classes. This is the first one where he's going to have three. Because I'm not trying to... I'm not going level by level. Like, he's not getting more powerful, like I described for the other characters. He already is at the apex of his power. So I'm just picking things so that at 20th level, I can say, here's one Punch Man. Does that make sense? I mean, it doesn't matter if it doesn't, because I'm continuing anyway. But he's multiclassing into Rogue now at 6th level. So when he multiclasses into Rogue, he's going to gain another skill proficiency from the Rogue skill list. So that's acrobatics, athletics, deception, insight, intimidation, investigation, perception, performance, persuasion, sleight of hand, and stealth. So a lot of options there. I think I'm going to go with perception. I think perception makes sense because he is really good at sensing danger, which fits with the danger sense ability that he has from the barbarian class. But he is good at knowing what's going on. He's got incredible reflexes. You know what I mean? So proficiency with perception. And he also gets proficiency in thieves' tools. Doubt he's ever going to use them, but he can. Isn't that nice? So as a first level rogue, he is going to gain expertise. So he can choose two of his skill proficiencies and double his proficiency bonus with them. Let's see, he's proficient in acrobatics, athletics, history, intimidation, perception, and persuasion. I think we've definitely got to do athletics because he's shredded. Absolutely shredded. And, well, let's just do perception because perception is very useful and I think it makes sense for him. So at fifth level, his proficiency bonus went up to +3, so doubled is 6. Athletics uses strength, so he now has a +10 to athletics. Perception uses wisdom, so has a +8 to perception. So very athletic and very perceptive, just like One Punch Man actually is. I almost said actually is in real life, but he is fictional. So I gotta remind myself. So the reason I'm going into Rogue, I don't really think Saitama is a rogue. You could say that Well, he kind of ignores the Hero Association's rules and all of this stuff. So he's like roguish a bit. I don't really see him like that, but he gets sneak attack, which is why I want this. So once per turn, he can deal an extra 1d6 damage to one creature he hits with an attack if he has advantage on the attack roll. So the attack has to use a finesse or a ranged weapon. So that might be a bit of a problem because, you know, two-handed weapons obviously aren't going to be ranged and they aren't going to have finesse. Finesse just means you can use dexterity to wield them as well. So I'm just going to say for the purposes of this specific thing, overruled. He can use sneak attack with his fist, okay? So, because we're using great axe stats and that does not have the finesse or ranged weapon property. So normally sneak attack won't be able to apply, but I don't care. I'm going with it. So he doesn't need advantage on the attack roll. If another enemy of the target is within 5 feet of it, the enemy isn't incapacitated, and he doesn't have disadvantage on the attack roll. So if you'll remember from his stint in Barbarian, he can attack recklessly to automatically give himself advantage on attack rolls every time he attacks. So he could potentially get sneak attack every turn. He's also going to gain the ability Thieves' Cant, which is just another language, essentially, that only rogues know. So only another creature that knows Thieves' Cant can understand you, and it's just a mix of, like, jargon and special code. Seventh level, we're gonna continue in rogue. I actually think we're just gonna finish off in rogue, because I want that sneak attack to be very high, and it gets stronger as he levels up in rogue. So, second level in Rogue, he gains Cunning Action. So now he can take a bonus action on each of his turns in combat that can be used to dash, disengage, or hide. So I like him being able to dash as a bonus action because Saitama is crazy fast. So now that's reflected a bit better in the mechanics. Eighth level, third in Rogue, he is going to choose his Roguish archetype, which is the Rogue subclass. I don't really think any of the Rogue subclasses are fitting for what we're trying to do. Maybe assassin could be. No. Ugh. Let's go with swashbuckler. So swashbuckler, I always think of, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow because he's a pirate and swashbucklers make me think of pirates. He gets the ability Fancy Footwork. So on Saitama's turn, if he makes a melee attack against a creature, that creature can't make opportunity attacks against him for the rest of his turn. So I like to think of that as Saitama hitting someone so hard, they're just momentarily dazed, and he can just walk away from them without them immediately retaliating. He's also going to gain the ability Rakish Audacity. So now his initiative will gain an additional bonus equal to his charisma modifier. Initiative usually just uses dexterity, which is +3 for him. His charisma is +2, so now he's going to have a +5 to initiative, which is awesome, just a little bit more swift now. And he gains an additional way to use his sneak attack. He doesn't actually need advantage on the attack roll to use his sneak attack against a creature if he's within 5 feet of it, no other creatures are within 5 feet of him, and he doesn't have disadvantage on the attack roll. So with Reckless Attack, he'll gain advantage on his attack roll and gain that sneak attack damage, but the downside is all attacks against him will be made with advantage as well. Now he can kind of avoid that because he doesn't actually need advantage if it's kind of like this one-on-one fight. Again, I don't really think any of the subclasses fit for him, but I want him to have a really high sneak attack, so we gotta keep going in Rogue, so just had to pick one. Next, we are going into 9th level, 4th in Rogue. He's going to get his first ability score improvement. Usually they've had one or even two by this point. This is the first time he's getting one. I think we've got to just bump that strength up to as high as it can get. So we can increase one ability score of his choice by 2 or 2 ability scores of his choice by 1. We're just going to change that 18 strength into a 20. Boom, now he's even stronger. Oh, I love that. 10th level, 5th in Rogue, he's going to gain Uncanny Dodge. So when an attacker that he can see hits him with an attack, he can use his reaction to just have the attack's damage. So this has to be an attack made, like, with an attack roll. If it were an area of effect spell, like Fireball, he wouldn't be able to Uncanny Dodge that. He does have danger sense, though, so he would gain advantage on that saving throw, but he still can't use Uncanny Dodge. 11th level, that is 6th in Rogue. He's going to gain another expertise. He can choose two more of his proficiencies. So let's go with Intimidation to be doubled, and let's do Persuasion, because I feel like a lot of the persuading he does is in conjunction with his intimidation. Like, he's good at persuading people because he's terrifying. 12th level in Rogue, he's going to gain Evasion, which is one of my favorite abilities. The Rogue class has so many of my favorite abilities. They've got Expertise, they've got Uncanny Dodge, they've got Evasion. I don't actually like playing Rogues, but they've got those things that I do like. So with Evasion, when he's subjected to an effect that allows him to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, like Fireball or Lightning Bolt, he's going to instead take no damage if he succeeds on the saving throw, and even if he fails, he's only going to take half damage. So I think this really works with the invulnerability that I've been talking about, because say he's hit with like a point-blank fireball, he's going to have advantage on the saving throw because of his barbarian danger sense, and if he succeeds, he's going to take no damage. And even if he fails, he's going to take half damage, but because he's a Path of the Totem warrior with the bear totem spirit, he's going to take half of that damage also. So if he fails a dexterity saving throw, the most damage he can take is a quarter of the original damage, unless it's psychic damage, but that's so cool. That's awesome. 13th level, 8th in Rogue, he's going to gain another ability score improvement. Let's bump up dexterity. I think dexterity is going to go to 18, so he has plus 4 to dexterity. I don't think that's necessary. He's not really using dexterity for much. This will just help his dexterity saving throws and his initiative and his armor class as well if he is using that unarmored defense from the barbarian. Now his armor class will be 16. 14th level, that's 9th in Rogue. He's going to gain a roguish archetype feature, which I don't like. So I'm going to pick another subclass's 9th level ability. So this is kind of what I did with Hello Kitty, if I'm remembering correctly. I've done a lot of these at this point, but I kind of made a subclass by just mushing a bunch of them together. So I think that's what I'm doing now. So it's not the Swashbuckler subclass. It is the Punching class. That's nothing. It is the One Punch Man class. That's also nothing. The Hero class. Yeah, the Hero subclass. I think that makes sense, because Swashbuckler is like, you can do more damage if you're fighting one-on-one. And I think heroes are always like, oh, I'm going to take on the big bad alone. Everyone else, retreat. So all that changes is going forward, I can pick roguish archetype features from other rogue subclasses. So instead of the 9th level Swashbuckler ability, I am going to choose the 9th level ability from the Scout roguish archetype. I read through a few of them, and none of the 9th level abilities are very good. But this one's called Superior Mobility, so his walking speed increases by 10. That's it. But I think that makes sense, because he is extremely fast. So now that's reflected a bit more, and especially with cutting action, he can bonus action dash and use the dash action as well. So he can potentially move 120 feet on one turn. Normal characters, if they take the dash action, will be able to move half that speed at 60 feet. Okay, so now we are going into 10th level as a rogue. That's 15th overall, remember. He's going to gain another ability score improvement. I think his ability scores are pretty great, so let's go with another feat. What feat makes the most sense for this guy who can just hit really hard, move really fast, and not really be hurt? Oh, how about tough? Yeah, okay. So tough, this is one of my favorite feats, as I'm sure you know. I've done this one a bunch. But his hit points increase by 2 every level. So now he's a 15th level character and hit points are added retroactively. So he's automatically going to gain an additional 30 hit points when he takes the tough feat. And remember, those hit points are essentially going to go twice as far because he has resistance to all damage except psychic. So he's going to have a ton of hit points, and he's going to have pretty much all damage he takes. And he can use Uncanny Dodge as a reaction to potentially have that damage again. Perfect. Okay. I like that. I'm into it. 16th level, 11th in Rogue, he gains the ability Reliable Talent. This one's pretty fun. So whenever he makes an ability check that lets him add his proficiency bonus, so whatever he's proficient in or has expertise in, he can treat a d20 roll of 9 or lower as a 10. So he has expertise in athletics, he has reliable talent, he has maxed out strength. So right now he has a proficiency bonus of plus 5, next level it's going to go up. So doubled is plus 10, with strength is plus 15. So he has plus 15 to athletics, and now the lowest he can get on a d20 roll is a 10. The lowest he can get on an athletics check is 25. And remember, if he's raging, he's going to have advantage on that athletics check. So his minimum is 25 and he has advantage. He's so strong. I love that for him. 17th level, that's 12th in Rogue. Another ability score improvement. Rogues and fighters gain more ability scores than I think all of the other classes. So for this one, let's pick another feat. Let's see, I'm thinking maybe like Observance, that is passive perception, will go up, or like Alert, so his initiative will get higher, or Mobile, so it'll be faster. This might be a little boring though. No? All right, I'm just gonna do it. So this is the feat Resilient. So he can choose one ability score, and that's going to increase by 1. So I'm going to increase his constitution by 1, which will now be 16, which is a plus 3 modifier. And whenever your constitution increases, the health is added retroactively. So he is a 17th level character, so he's just automatically going to gain 17 additional hit points. So he is swimming in hit points. And with the Resilient feat, he's also going to gain proficiency in saving throws using the chosen ability. So now he has proficiency in Constitution saving throws as well as Wisdom and Charisma. I just think that's fun because I did want him to have really high Constitution. I wanted him to be hardy, invulnerable, and I think now we've really done that by giving him increased constitution and proficiency in constitution saving throws to try to withstand whatever effects he's going to be facing with that as well. Okay, let's see. 18th level, that is 13th in Rogue, he's going to gain another roguish archetype feature. So let me look around and see which one I think is going to be the most fitting for him. Wow, literally none of them stand out to me. They're just not... one of the reasons I never play rogues is because I really like a bunch of their class abilities, but I don't like any of the subclasses. All the subclasses are so... I just find a lot of the abilities you get from your roguish archetypes to be so pointless. But I gotta pick one, so I'll just pick the best one I can. I'm just gonna go with Swashbuckler again. So... as a 13th level rogue in Swashbuckler, which I guess is now part of the hero roguish archetype that I'm really hastily and poorly cobbling together. So, Elegant Maneuver. He can use a bonus action on his turn to just gain advantage on the next acrobatics or athletics check he makes during the same turn. So, do you see what I mean? That is a 13th level rogue ability, and it's a bonus action to gain advantage on either acrobatics or athletics that he makes on the same turn. That's such a nothing ability. I mean, especially because when he's raging, he's already going to have advantage on athletics. Whatever, it's fine. That's what he has. Elegant Maneuver. Moving on, 19th level character, he gains Blind Sense. And I think this one actually is fitting for him. So if he's able to hear, he's aware of the location of any hidden or invisible creature within 10 feet of him, because his ears are also shredded. He's got just these muscular, vascular ears that can hear invisible creatures. So if any invisible creature is within 10 feet of him, he knows exactly where it is. Now, I'm seeing the 15th level rogue ability is redundant. It would just give him proficiency in wisdom saving throws. So instead, I think we are going to go back into barbarian. So we're going back into 4th level barbarian, which will give him another feat, or another ability score improvement, which we're going to use to take a feat. Because I think that is a lot more fitting than just giving him proficiency in wisdom saving throws, which he already has. So now I think we are going to go with alert, because I think alert is pretty fitting. He's going to gain a +5 bonus to initiative. And remember, from his rogue subclass, he already adds charisma. So he has +4 to dexterity, +2 to charisma, and +5 from alert. He has +11 to initiative. He's going to go first pretty much all the time, and he's going to hit them so hard and end the battle in one turn. And I love that for him. Also, why I picked this is he can't be surprised while he's conscious. He can't be surprised. It'll be hard for people to gain a sneak attack on him. Also, other creatures aren't going to gain advantage on attack rolls against him as a result of being unseen by him. So he does have this blind sense, but if someone is hidden outside of that 10 feet, which 10 feet's not that big, they're going to throw a knife at him. Like, say, there's this character, Speed of Sound Sonic, who is a, like, ninja. So say Speed of Sound Sonic goes to attack him, he's not going to gain advantage on the attack, and he's not going to surprise Saitama, which is very fitting, because he always does try to sneak attack surprise Saitama, and he never can. So I think that's very fitting. The fourth feat we've given him, alert. And that's that. That's what he gets at 20th level. Look at that. Oh my god. So wow, we went all over the place there. But that is One Punch Man, Saitama. For background, he has Knight. For race, he's a human variant. He's a level 2 paladin. We didn't pick a subclass there. A level 4 Path of the Totem Warrior Barbarian. And a level 14 hero archetype rogue. Which, again, is just the subclass that we cobbled together really quickly and doesn't, you know, it doesn't do much for him. I mostly just wanted the class abilities. His ending stats are 20 strength, 18 dexterity, 16 constitution, 12 intelligence, 14 wisdom, and 14 charisma. He rolled so well to begin with that we were able to give him 4 feats. For skills, he has +9 to acrobatics, +17 to athletics, +7 to history, +14 to intimidation, +14 to perception, and +14 to persuasion. He only has 6 skill proficiencies, but damn is he good at them. With his reliable talent ability, the lowest he can roll on the d20 for any of them is just a 10, or it's treated as a 10. So the lowest he can get for even his lowest skill, history, is a 17. For athletics, his highest skill, the lowest he can get on an athletics check, which he'll probably have advantage on, is 27. It is so easy for him to get above 30 on an athletics check, which is very fitting because One Punch Man is very athletic. For saving throws, he has +9 to constitution saving throws, +8 to wisdom saving throws, and +8 to charisma saving throws. So he has 3 saving throw proficiencies there. Pretty much every character only has 2, but we gave him the feat to give him constitution. Languages, we gave him Common, Elvish, and Halfling, just because. Languages don't really matter much for this podcast, but there you have it. Tools, he has Thieves' Tools, and remember, he's proficient in video games. So, make note. For feats, he started with Great Weapon Master, and then he got Tough, Resilient, and Alert. So he's got a ton of hit points. He can hit really hard. We flavored it as his fist being able to do a ton of damage. So we just gave it the stats of a great axe, which normally you can't get the sneak attack bonus when wielding a great axe. But I said, F it, he's One Punch Man. Of course he can. Of course he can punch so hard he adds sneak attack damage. Why not? You know? So my idea for him is, it's pretty easy for me to imagine One Punch Man because I've watched the anime a few times because I really like it. So it's easy for me to imagine him fighting. He just wades into combat, his cape blowing in the wind, a stupid expression on his face, and then he punches something once and it explodes. Or he punches so hard that he changes the weather. You know, whatever. So for damage, he's obviously going to be using strength and he's proficient. So he's going to gain plus 11 to the attack roll, unless it is, you know, a special item, which his fists are special items, obviously. So he can take a minus 5 penalty, so he'll have a plus 6 to the attack roll. But if he hits, assuming he's raging and using Divine Smite, he only has 2 first level spell slots, so he's only going to be able to use Divine Smite twice. But every time he hits with it, it's going to deal an additional 2d8 damage. So it's going to be 1d12 plus 17 damage, because that's plus 5 from Strength, plus 2 from Raging, plus 10 from Great Weapon Master, and then plus 2d8 from Divine Smite. And then if he gets Sneak Attack, that is now 7d6. So from one punch, he can deal 1d12 plus 17 plus 2d8 plus 7d6. So let's see, 1d12, that's about 6 damage, plus 17, that's 23. 2d8 averages to 9 damage, that's 32. 7d6 averages to like 24. So that's an average of 56 damage with one hit. And remember, he'll probably have advantage on all of his attacks. So there is a good chance he will crit and do over 100 damage with a single attack. And even if he doesn't destroy anything with one attack, like say he's just goofing around or not really trying, and they get to attack him, he's going to have resistance to that damage. He's going to have advantage on that dexterity saving throw to avoid the damage. If he gets hit with an attack, he can use uncanny dodge to half the damage. If he gets blasted with a fireball, he can use evasion to potentially take no damage at all. He's got tough for a ton of hit points, so even if something somehow survives a punch, he can just keep punching them because nothing's ever going to take him down. How could it? He is the strongest hero. He is One Punch Man, and I love that for him. Oh my god. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod. Email in character suggestions to FantasizeMePod@gmail.com. This was another character suggestion. Keep them coming. I love it. You can check out my Ko-fi. It's Ko-fi.com/FantasizeMe. I have the Elemental Codex up on there, which is a supplement of 100 elemental spells for sale. And I'm working on another supplement of, mundane backgrounds, or backgrounds people don't see as fantastical or, impressive, necessarily. So I'm working on that right now. That'll be up, eventually. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. We will do this again next week. Bye!